In Los Angeles, I'm Kai Rizdahl. Friday, 13 January. Glad you're here, as always, everybody. A week out from Inauguration Day, and arguably the biggest changes coming to this economy in 8 years, so we are going to get right to it. Felix Salmon, is it Fusion Lee Gallagher? Is it Fortune Magazine? They are both, I think, right, in our studios in New York. Hey, everybody.
We're together.
There
yes,
you
we
go.
Are.
All
Hi,
right,
Kai.
That's good. All right, so Felix, test my proposition there. Would you, the biggest changes to this economy in 8 years, agree, disagree?
Probably in 80 years, to be honest. This is seismic. This is certainly an end to gridlock. This is when everything which hasn't happened for basically living memory is going to start happening. It's almost impossible to overstate how big it is when you get all three branches of government basically aligned with each other with a mandate to really change things a lot.
Lee, you buying that?
I mean, I agree. Yes, it's hard to understate what's going on.
So let me actually, Lee, continue with you then with this. Robert Costa had a great piece in the Washington Post this afternoon in which he pointed out that Mr. Trump, for all his desire for a high-impact, high-velocity administration, will run screechingly into the gears of Congress, and it is going to slow things down. What do you make of that?
Meeting with the nominations?
Well, not just nominations, but his infrastructure plan and all the things that he has said he's going to do in this economy.
It building depends. The wall. I mean, I don't know. I mean, he's got both houses, so it's not – I don't know if I totally agree with that.
And what's more, it works the other way as well, that the House and Senate, the Congress, is going to pass a whole bunch of laws – from a Republican Congress. There's no way that Donald Trump is going to veto those laws.
Oh, no,
so the
of course not.
Laws are going to all get passed, you know, whether they're technically the Trump agenda or technically the Paul Ryan agenda. Either way, it's going to be a huge change.
Yeah, I just think there's no comparison to the obstructionist era that we're just coming out of.
Right.
None.
Okay. All right, fair enough. I heard a phrase yesterday. I mentioned it briefly on the broadcast. I want to run it by you guys. Trump tweet risk. This idea that American companies now, and I saw a great piece the other day, and I forget who wrote it. Companies in Silicon Valley have their public relations people getting up at 3 o'clock in the morning so that they can be on guard, Lee, for tweets from the president-elect about their company.
Unbelievable. I think this is just like maybe as big as all the changes that we just outlined a few minutes ago. I mean, I think this is just companies are it's almost like a sniper type situation. But although today, or was it today, we saw the opposite where Trump came out and endorsed L.L. Bean and said, buy these products.
Right.
And so then you have a sort of almost Kardashian-like impact the other way. So
I'm going to come out and say this is a non-story.
Seriously?
The man's making economic policy
140 characters at a time.
The Trump Twitter account is this weird, shiny object that the press corps cannot tear its eyes from. And every tweet creates a whole bunch of stories. He'll tweet about Toyota or whoever. What? And then, like a knee-jerking, the press will say, oh, my God, Toyota stock plunged. But when you look closely, it plunged by 0.2%. Most of the time, there's
not always. Not always.
But. Yeah, I mean, so Felix, I grant your point that it is a bright, shiny object, and one should always, when looking at his tweets, think about what the object of distraction is. But the man is making economic policy on his Twitter account. Do you disagree with that?
Yes, I disagree with that. I think he has a crazy stream of consciousness Twitter account, which is not economic policy. Economic policy is going to be set by Congress and Treasury and all of these institutions which have ways of setting policy, and the tweets are a shiny distraction.
All right, fair enough. Spence, you mentioned Treasury, Felix. We've got a minute left. Steven Mnuchin, the nominee for Secretary of the Treasury, has his hearing next Thursday, the day before Inauguration Day. You get to sit and ask him a question. What's your question?
What qualifies you to hold one of the most important public offices in the land when all you've ever done your entire career is self-interested, making yourself rich?
Lee?
I would ask him to go back in time when the housing crisis was in full swing, and knowing what we know now, would he have, and if he were the head of IndyMac, which he later acquired, would he behave the same way and make the same loans that the company did?
No doubt he gets confirmed, right? I mean, just to stipulate that.
Seems likely.
Doubt.
All right.
Yeah.
All right. Fair enough. Lee Gallagher at Fortune Magazine and Felix Salmon at Fusion. Have a nice weekend, everybody. Oh, wait.
Okay.
You know what, Lee? I almost forgot. I wrote myself a note. New book coming out, right? The Airbnb
New
story?
Book coming out.
Yes.
Plug the book.
Yes.
Yes.
What's
Thank
it called?
So much. It's called The Airbnb Story.
There you go.
So how three ordinary guys disrupted an industry, created millions, and created plenty of enemies. Made millions, created plenty of enemies. Got to get used to that.
Got to get used to saying that. You got to get that right, man. Come on. All right.
Coming out in a couple weeks. Thanks
so much,
guys.
Have a nice weekend, everybody. We'll see you.